Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, what's the longest travel day you've had?
I think my longest travel day was probably when I tried to drive home from Chicago all in one day at the end of the Obama campaign. That was me, Shrum the cat. It felt like 3 days long, but it's the one that sticks in my memory.
Ooh, woof. I had one last Christmas. My husband and I made the decision to drive all the way from Los Angeles to Minneapolis and then to Pittsburgh and then back to Los Angeles. And we had planned to take a kind of at a leisurely pace, but then a blizzard was moving into Los Angeles and we ended up having to do 3 days worth of driving in one day. So we were 15 hours behind the wheel trying to beat a blizzard. It was not ideal. Not ideal.
Less than ideal.
Alyssa, this is a really fun episode. We say this about every episode, but this one is especially fun. We talked to Minnesota Senator Tina Smith, who we've wanted to talk to for quite some time, and she is a delight. She's an absolute delight. Minnesota's on it, and we are so excited for you to hear our conversation with Senator Tina Smith. Then we bring in a super panel, because it's more people than normal, super panel to talk about the pratfalls of traveling, specifically over the holidays, but also, you know, other times of the year. So many pratfalls and some tips. Some tips and some petties and some pratfalls, but all in all, it's a really great holiday episode. So if you're stuck in an airport or if you're sitting in, you know, your childhood den while there's a football game on TV, sit back, relax, enjoy this episode. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast where all hot dish are welcome. Our guest today is a senator from Minnesota. Before entering office, she was an executive at Planned Parenthood. Now she works on every progressive issue imaginable, from abortion rights and climate change to childcare and tribal sovereignty. Two other important facts: she's hilarious on Twitter and she loves candy. Senator Tina Smith, welcome to Hysteria.
Well, thank you. I'm really excited to be invited to join you all and looking forward to the conversation.
It's long overdue. We've wanted you on for a while. We're glad that it finally worked out. So let's get into talking a little bit about childcare. So this fall, Congress allowed a pandemic-era program that provided grants to childcare providers to expire, leading to tens of thousands of childcare centers to be in danger of closing and, by extension, throwing families across the country into chaos. There was just an article in the Washington Post today about what happened to one town when one daycare center closed. So, Senator, what are you doing to try to keep us from falling all the way off the childcare cliff?
Well, the right way to describe this is a cliff. And it is exactly as you said. During the pandemic, we realized that if we didn't take action, that thousands of childcare providers around the country were just going to collapse. And so we did. We said, let's put resources into those centers so that they can stay afloat and continue to provide care, even when there weren't a lot of kids in those centers because of the pandemic. It made a huge difference. But that dollars, all those dollars ran out as of September 30th of this year. And so what are we going to do now? I've joined, I'm leading a group of senators that include Patty Murray and Tim Kaine and others to say, it is essential that we re-up that assistance so that we can stabilize those centers. And let's talk for a minute about what that money does. What it does is it fills the gap between the revenue that those childcare centers bring in and how much it actually costs to provide quality care for our little babies. And that gap is like pretty significant. It's why being in the childcare business is not something that you do because you want to make a lot of money. It's something that you do because you know how necessary it is, how needed it is. We don't have that done yet. It was great that President Biden said he wanted childcare funding included in his supplemental domestic priorities. But honestly, we're struggling to get support for it in Congress, though I know that there's a lot of support for it in small towns and big cities and suburbs in my home state of Minnesota.
So, Senator, you and other Democratic senators, as you just mentioned, are working to make families' lives easier. Why? Let's dig into it a little bit. Why is it so hard for the federal government to pass and enact popular, helpful, pro-family policies like expanding the child tax credit permanently, funding affordable childcare, and finally getting paid leave in place? What is in the way?
Well, sometimes I feel that when I'm here in the Senate that I'm living in some alternate reality, to tell you the truth. It's like there's a lot of my colleagues, particularly my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, the Republicans, that are, it's like they're living in some world where the dad goes to work and the mom stays home, and they have this sort of Leave It to Beaver idea about how American families work. And that is just detached from reality. And I know they know that because they all go home and hear exactly the same things that I hear. And so I always say these policies are just as you, you know, childcare, paid family and medical leave, the child tax credit. These are bipartisan policies outside the walls of this building. It's just when you get inside, you lose that. So I think that's one piece of it. But there's another piece of it, which is also that you get this thinking in this building sometimes that it's like a false sense of scarcity. It's like, that would be great, but we can't afford it. And so why is that? Well, it's because we gave some pretty big tax cuts to big companies and millionaires and billionaires back in 2017. And that means that, like, our expenses are going up and our revenues are not. And we can fix that by doing something really commonsensical, which is to make our tax system more fair. So it's interesting, you know, isn't it? I talk to my colleagues, Republican colleagues, like Katie Britt, for example, from Alabama, who's a mom. She's got teenage kids. And I know she gets this, but like, we have to find the political will across the board to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of like never changed a diaper energy among male Republicans.
I know. There's like, there's just a lot of kind of very superficial understanding of these things. And then there's the other piece of it is, like, what's your priority? People will say, I get that that's a priority, but it's not my top priority. And then you can't make headway. But, you know, here's the thing that I keep looking at, which is that we showed during the pandemic, when we had the child tax credit, when we had the support for childcare, what did we prove? We proved it works. We lowered child poverty by nearly 50%. And so there's not a question of whether these policies are a good idea or whether they work to get the results we want. We just have to find the will to make it permanent.
Yeah. Senator, can you tell us a little bit about the work you've done to expand students' access to mental health care?
This is such an important thing to me. And, you know, I have been very open about my own experience with depression when I was in college. And then when I was a young mom, because I wanted to try to break down the stigma that exists amongst adults around talking about mental health care. It's like brain health, body health. It's all one thing. What I've discovered from my many, many conversations with young people, high school age students and college students, is that that stigma for them is not as intense. They're more open to really talk about what they need and what we need to do. Mm-hmm. And so with them in my hearts, I've done a lot of work to try to expand access to mental health care in schools, which is where young people are every single day. And if they can get at least walk through the door of getting help for anxiety or depression or finding a pathway to getting help for other kinds of mental health challenges, they're going to be so much better off. They're not going to experience so many of the barriers that would exist otherwise, transportation barriers and how do you pay for it barriers. And my mom or dad are at working and can't take me barriers. You can have a big impact. And there's some great examples of this working in schools that I've seen around Minnesota. It's just so common sense. There's more we need to do, but that is a really important step.
Before you were in politics, as Erin mentioned in the intro, you worked for Planned Parenthood. What lessons from your time there do you think Democrats should internalize as we move into a federal election year when abortion is sure to be front and center? Are your fellow Democrats seeing you and others who have worked in the reproductive advocacy space as resources going into 2024?
Well, so I think the answer to that is yes. And what I learned from that experience, I was so blessed to have had the opportunity to work at Planned Parenthood. And what I learned from that is that for people who walk through the door of a Planned Parenthood clinic or any healthcare clinic, their reproductive healthcare is not a political issue. It's personal. It's like the most basic of things. Do I get to decide for myself? I'm going to make decisions about what's best for me, and I don't need somebody else who doesn't have any idea what's happening in my life to try to tell me what to do. It's really pretty much that basic. And I saw people every single day walking through the doors of that clinic, women who had the capacity and the everything they needed to be able to make those decisions for themselves. And so I try to share that with people and get them out of the idea that like somehow they have to second guess or judge or make decisions for somebody whose lives and stories they'll never know. Mm-hmm.
Senator, what needs to happen in order for Democrats to hang on to the Senate next year?
Well, when you first look at the map, you see 23 Democrats that or Democratic held seats that are up. And that seems like a lot and it can be a little overwhelming. But what I always say is if you break it down and you look at these seats, senator by senator, you can see a path forward to Democrats not only holding the Senate, but also potentially adding seats. And so let me just give you an example of what that means. You take a senator like John Tester in Montana. And this is a state that Donald Trump won with a pretty significant margin in 2020. But here's John Tester, who is an independent guy, loved and respected by his state. He knows that state inside and out. He's got a bunch of really conservative Republicans trying to run against him. And he is doing everything he needs to do to be able to win. And, you know, one of my favorite things about John Tester is said, which I think kind of gets at that ethic, is he said, he's running against a guy who's not a Montanan, hasn't been there for that long. And he said, I've got farm implements who've been in Montana longer than my opponent. I love that, right? Because you're just cutting through the bull and just laying it right out there. And so we win because we've got such strong candidates who are known and trusted by the voters of their state. They're going to run their own races. And they're running against really conservative people that are out of step. In Montana, another great example, here's a state that has the voters have passed referenda protecting abortion rights in a state that you think, oh, it's a red state, but no, it's a libertarian state. It's a state where people say, don't tread on me. Don't try to tell me what to do. And John Tester's on the right side of that issue and his opponents will be on the wrong side. It's a clear choice.
Okay, so Senator, we're going to end with a truly serious question. St. Paul just got its first all-female city council. Yes. You and Amy Klobuchar are arguably the best Senate delegation in all 50 states. How do you get the vibes? What's Minnesota's secret?
Well, I just will point out that those that all-women city council in St. Paul, not only is it all women, but they are young, talented, new leaders, leaders of color that are full of like great life experience, and also they are ready to tackle the big issues. And so I think that what is working in Minnesota is that we are creating opportunities for those kinds of grassroots leaders to move into elected office in a decisive way, and their voters are ready for that. They want to see those great leaders. So it's pretty exciting. And put on top of that, you have Minnesota Democratic governor, state house, and state senate that passed one of the most progressive agendas that we've seen in this country. All the things we've been talking about, paid family leave, automatic voter registration at 18, protecting abortion rights, child tax credit, child care support. It's pretty exciting what you can do when you put your mind to it.
Senator Tina Smith, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for the work that you do for the people of Minnesota and for the American people. We're going to take a quick break. When you come back, more hysteria. Hysteria is brought to you by Kariuma. Kariumas have long been our go-to sneakers because they're really comfortable. They go with everything and they're made with consciously sourced materials. I love and wear my Kariuma sneakers all the time, including right now.
And you know what I'm going to wear mine? When I'm cooking on Thanksgiving, because they give me the little extra lift and support that I need to get me through the final phase of dishwashing that happens around 7 o'clock at night.
Oh my gosh, you absolutely need lift and support. That is no time No time for impractical Hallmark holiday movies, stilettos that the big city gal wears. Absolutely not. Last year, we collaborated with Kariuma to create No Steps Back sneakers, and we can't believe they have now designed a second limited edition collaboration with us, the Love It or Leave It sneaker.
These shoes have a colorful design with lots of Easter eggs. I mean, not Taylor Swift-level Easter eggs. We're not insane. Just fun stuff like Pundit on a surfboard. Plus, a portion of the proceeds from every pair sold is donated to VSA's Every Last Vote Fund. Our first Kariuma collab sold out super fast, so if you want a pair for yourself or the Love It fan in your life, make sure to snag one now. They make the perfect gift for the holiday season with free returns. Just head to crooked.com/store. That's crooked.com/store.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who believe there should be a federal law against being barefoot on airplanes, like there's a law against smoking. Alyssa, thoughts? Why didn't you get this passed? Obama should have got
his.
Why didn't Obama do this?
You know why, Aaron? There are certain things you don't need. You don't think you actually need laws to tell people to not do.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's like put your socks on at least.
It's like when you get an iron and it's like, don't wear clothes while you iron. And you're like, somebody ironed with clothes on. And that's why.
Someone ironed with clothes on.
Before Mitt Romney was doing it in that documentary about, do you guys remember that? I think
yes.
It's my Roman Empire. I think about Mitt Romney ironing his clothes while he's wearing them from that documentary about the 2012 presidential
race. But it's
got to
be thick wool.
Yeah. Is that something about like the garments he's wearing underneath?
I don't know, but he was like, it was like weirdly the moment where I was like, I don't fully hate Mitt Romney.
No, we were so like, glad it came out after the election.
Yeah. It made him so likable.
Oh, he's charming.
I would not mind sitting next to him on a long flight.
He would wear socks, at least.
He would 100% wear socks. And he would ask you, if he was sitting in front of you, he would ask if it was okay to recline.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got bad policy ideas, and I disagree with a lot of what he thinks, but I think he would be a courteous person when you shared space with him.
Yeah.
And that is a low bar to clear. So we're going to talk about travel today. Really excited about it. This is a special holiday week bonus episode. Thanksgiving week is a week where I think it's the busiest travel day of the year, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And it's hell, and yet people do it. It continues to be the most popular travel day of the year, mystifying to me. But we're going to bring a panel together to share our horror stories, our tips, our tricks for traveling. At least it'll be cathartic if you're stuck in an airport while you're listening to this. Okay, so bringing in our panel. Our first panelist is a New York Times bestselling author. Her latest book, Immortality, A Love Story, is out now. Dana Schwartz, welcome to Hysteria.
Thank you for having me.
Every time you're here, I'm like, it's been too long.
It's been too long. I miss you.
I miss you. We are almost neighbors.
I know. We're a neighborhood away. But in Los Angeles, that's a city away.
I know. I have to get in a car. I have to sit down. I have to put on a seatbelt. I have to drive. It's a lot.
This is a busy travel season. Asking you to do any more travel is too much.
I know. I feel like it'd be quicker on bikes some days. Our next panelist is a comedian and the host of That's Messed Up, an SVU podcast, which will finish up its 2023 tour in Sacramento, New York, and Philly in December. Get your tickets. Kara Klink, welcome to Hysteria.
Hello, Aaron. Thank you for having me back.
So excited.
We live close
to
each other, and I stop by whenever I want.
I know.
And I'm always like, I'm outside. Are you home?
We have like a pretty bonkers Halloween display, and neighborhood children like to walk by and look at it.
Rosie like remembers specific things they have. She's like, where are the hands? Why aren't the hands moving?
Yeah, there's like hands that dig out of it. We kept it up for an extra week after Halloween. We didn't light it because I was like, that's too much. I know. You could have come by. Our final panelist is an Emmy-nominated comedian who just taped her stand-up special Assault on Comedy in L.A. Coming soon to a streaming service near you, Kieran Deal. Welcome to Hysteria.
Hello.
So glad to have you back.
I know. Here we are. We're in person.
We're in person?
Just touching
Kara.
Weird. Be weird.
We all traveled to get here. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about travel. Horror stories, tips, whatever. Alyssa, are you traveling for Thanksgiving this year?
No.
Traveling at all? Not even going to a different house?
Oh, I am going to a different house. I will be going to my parents' house. I'm in charge of the sweet potatoes and setting the table. And yes, it doesn't get any different as you get older.
Wait, this is very important to me. Are your sweet potatoes, is it like a casserole form? And are we doing like nuts or marshmallows on top?
Okay, so Dana, they are, I bake the sweet potatoes.
Love it.
And then I do a little bit of butter. I do one egg. I do some lemon zest and a little brown sugar.
That is my ideal sweet potato.
Bake it, and then when I take it down to my parents' house, I put marshmallows on top and give them a little toasty roasty. Oh.
That sounds unbelievable. That sounds perfect.
I'm hungry.
Thank you. I can't eat now. I can't eat for like 2 hours because we're recording, and now I'm hungry. Thank you very much. Dana, do you travel for Thanksgiving?
I do. So my family is in Chicago. I used to always go back to Chicago, but my husband's family is in Portland, and so this is the first year I'm ever not like, I'm going to someone else's family for Thanksgiving. Last year was a Chicago year. This year's a Portland year.
Oh, wow. So you're going to switch off every year and you're never going to have Thanksgiving at your real house.
Well, neither of our families are here. So it would be a very lonely Thanksgiving.
That makes sense. I feel when I think of Chicago around Thanksgiving, I think of planes, trains, and automobiles.
It's so yes, John definitely. Hughes core. My town, like where I grew up, a lot of John Hughes stuff was filmed. So like the Cameron's like weird ravine house from Ferris Bueller's in my town.
Yeah.
So it's like it's all very John Hughes coming home for Christmas, coming home for Thanksgiving. I don't know what Portland is like for Thanksgiving, but I will find out.
Did you drive a Ferrari through your glass home window?
It was me. I actually grew up with access to a Ferrari. And wait,
did you guys
large glass.
Hear, though, that the actor that plays Cameron just drove his Rivian through, like, a pizza place?
He did.
Los Angeles.
On Halloween, he did it. He drove his truck into—
And it was just, like, the comments were just Ferris Bueller
jokes. Well, that was
Bueller
festive
jokes.
Of him.
Like, his dad's going to kill him.
Yeah. Was it for fun? Or what was?
I feel like people were acting like the car malfunctioned, but I don't know. I actually don't know the rest of the story.
I mean, people drive around there all the time, and he's the first one to crash his truck into a pizza,
into
place.
A pizza place.
So if the car malfunctioned, that's a very rare malfunction. super weird. Also, he ended up playing Libertarian Weirdo in Succession.
Yeah,
we're proud of him.
Yeah, I like to imagine that the characters exist in the same reality, like Ferris Bueller in Succession are both like in the same universe. Kieran, are you traveling for Thanksgiving?
No, I think people are coming here. The one thing I will say about this is because a lot of people don't have enough time off for the holidays.
Yeah.
So that's why I get so busy. It's like there's so little. It's weird to come. Like I was in Europe for like, a couple months and they get a lot more time off in general.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason you have these shit show airport blockage bullshit nonsense is because everyone needs more time off.
Yeah,
we all have to go Wednesday.
Yeah, it's like if you only have Wednesday and to Sunday or whatever it is, and you get that whatever, and plus the other week and a half that you get, of course everyone's going to go travel. I sympathize with you people.
Well, Kara, you have like two kids.
Yeah.
Not like two kids. You have
like
literally
a full two kids.
Literally two children. Do you travel for Thanksgiving or do you stick around?
Hell no. No, we don't ever travel for Thanksgiving. That's too small of a window for me and I'm not doing it. And I don't care about Thanksgiving enough. Like, I just, it's not for me. We, for Christmas holidays, we do every other year, staying in LA and traveling. This is a travel year, so I'm stealing myself. So we are traveling for the Christmas holidays. But Thanksgiving, we usually do it with friends. This year, all of our friends are going out of town, and so we are going to a steakhouse in Beverly Hills. We're just eating out. I'm a vegetarian, so I'm not going to, like, make a turkey.
But the sides, steakhouse
and
sides.
And the sides at steakhouses are great. Like, my kids will have the mac and cheese and some mashed potatoes or whatever.
That's amazing.
And my brother's coming into town because he's en route to Japan, so he's stopping for Thanksgiving. So I'll have, like, one family member, and it'll be small and chill. But, Thanksgiving, I cannot be moved to travel on Thanksgiving.
I don't do it either. And that's because I am kind of a, like, jerk about being inconvenienced too much. Like, I live halfway across the country. It is massively expensive for me to travel to, like, a small airport on a very busy weekend. And I just, like, I refuse to be treated like an animal. Like, airlines treat you like an animal, and I'm not going to do it. The holiday is not worth it. I will come out for a random weekend in March, and we'll have, like, a nice dinner then. But, like, I feel like part of Thanksgiving is like buying into like a lie that you all have to travel now and you all have to spend all this money now. And it like like the lie making us travel and pressuring us to be somewhere like fuels our economy, which I kind of don't like. And then also Thanksgiving week where I grew up is deer season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's gross. It's a real gross time. Everything smells like blood.
Ew.
There are carcasses everywhere. Like if you're driving, if you drive into town, you stop at the gas station or you stop at, I don't know, the coffee shop, the bakery. There's just trucks with like deer carcasses just laid out in the back.
Aaron, I gotta tell you, one of my worst travel experiences was returning up to Vermont after Thanksgiving in the early 90s when there was a crash of cars with deer carcasses going into the toll booth on I-87.
Oh, my God.
And, Aaron, it was just deer. I remember it. It was so traumatizing. There was just deer carcass all over. You literally couldn't get to the toll booth.
Oh,
it was so
God.
Fucking gross.
Oh,
so,
my
yes,
God.
I feel you. Same. Same.
Someone hit a deer. I'm from Connecticut, very heavy. I've hit three deer with my car. Someone hit a deer in front of my house, and my dad strung it up in our backyard.
Oh yeah,
for
that's a thing.
Days and goes, I'm gonna dress this deer. I go, you don't know how to do that. I mean, I didn't say that because I was like 13. So he like left it there until it like rotted, and I was and just he like never got around to it. I was so gross.
Where I grew up, if you hit a deer and the deer isn't too damaged, like you. Can you like call your neighbor, call someone who lives nearby, and you're like, look, I just hit this deer, and they'll come and like
go grab it.
Yeah, they'll grab it.
Damn. I gotta call this. Is this a travel talk or deer talk?
Hey, that's what is going on. Guys. The deer thing is part of the reason I don't travel for Thanksgiving. If it was like a pleasant time to
it is
be back.
Yeah.
I will say, in defense of Thanksgiving, I'm a Jewish person. My family doesn't do Christmas. Thanksgiving is our big
family holiday.
Yeah. Where it's like, if I mean, this is truly the first Thanksgiving I won't be with my family since COVID.
Uh-huh.
I mean, with the exception of COVID, I have been with my family for Thanksgiving every year because that is our fall holiday.
Uh-huh. That makes sense. I mean, like, Christmas is much bigger for us.
Yeah.
And so traveling a month before Christmas in a much less pleasant context is, like, so not worth it. It, like, almost makes me mad that people would even expect me to do it.
I know. I'm mad that the people who are going home for Christmas, I'm like, just wait. I need this one.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. It feels
out
like it is an either or. It feels like an either or.
And to be clear, I am a Jew who celebrates a cultural Christmas.
Yeah. I won't fly home in December for all of the aforementioned reasons. It's too soon after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Alyssa, do you have any like travel nightmares? Doesn't need to be holiday travel. Just what's your worst travel story?
My worst travel memory, for all the youth who listen, before there was the internet, we were taking a trip as a family, and it was in the middle of winter. It was like February, and like it had started snowing, and we were like, okay, it's snowing a little bit. We ended up driving from upstate New York down to Newark in a blizzard as we are all buckled into, I think it must have been the Ford Taurus station wagon back then. There was another car that turned the wrong way and was coming at us on the highway. Like it was in the wrong lane. It was so scary. And my sister and I are in the back seat. And we're like, oh, my God. My dad's like, everyone be silent. Everyone be silent.
Ah!
We get to the airport. We get to the airport as the airport closes. Everything. It turns out to be this epic blizzard. Everyone is trapped. We see my friend on like local New York One or whatever it was with his parents and his surfboard because they were on their way to Hawaii, like with his surfboard, like dragging it across some shut down road. We have no idea what highway it was, but we're like, we think that's Sean. And I
you
think
know
we were
that
in
the news person saw a kid with a surfboard and was like, get that shot.
Get that guy.
100%. It was perfect. And we knew it was him. And I think that we slept on the floor of the airport with some, I can't remember. I asked my sister, I can't remember who it was, some famous actor, I think, from One Life to Live, for like 36 hours. I think we slept in the airport. And then we finally, like, a plane to here, a plane to there. We finally got where we were going. But that was like my most traumatic memory of travel was
did you actually
starting
sleep?
Off.
You slept for 36 hours?
We were like, you know, like think about it. There was no iPads. I think we had brought, you know, some Beverly Cleary books with us. And we just sat there and you ate Pizza Hut, right? That's what the airport had back then. Love so you Pizza had like, Hut. And they had to ration because there was no food coming into the airport because of the snow. God. So that was my, I have other travel stories where I actually messed up and it was kind of my fault why it was a disaster. But that was the one purely out of our hands.
Oh my God. Yeah. God didn't want you to go on that trip. No. I was like, you're staying back. Dana, what's your biggest travel horror story? And sorry if I'm bringing – everybody's making faces like they're remembering, like, the awfulness of bad travel.
That is a nightmare to me. That is genuinely a nightmare. And I can't remember. I don't think I've ever had an experience even close to that bad. I'm an over-planner with traveling. I'm just like, I plan everything. I confirm everything. I have multiple spreadsheets and Google Docs. So if a disaster happens, I have failed at some point.
What is in the spreadsheets?
Confirmation numbers, phone numbers of like the people I made the reservations with. Just
your
like
airport dad.
I'm an airport dad. Recently, though, I was flying from a tiny, tiny airport in Cornwall in England, like an airport with like three runways total. And I had a layover in Dublin, and the layover was only like an hour and 40 minutes. And then my flight was delayed. And then it kept being delayed to the point where I'm like, okay, now I have a 20-minute layover for an international airport. And eventually, literally sprinting through the airport with people being like, run, run. Like at the airport, they knew that our plane was coming and there were like six, you know, 40 of us who needed to like get to that transfer. And we were sprinting through the airport. But of course, my checked bag didn't make it. And I my transfer was to Chicago. Like I wasn't going home. Like I needed my things because I wasn't home. But I had an AirTag in my suitcase. And so even though my bag was delayed and they kept saying, we'll deliver it, it was like 3-4 days and my bag still hadn't come. And I kept like calling the airline being like, I need my bag. I'm, you know, leaving eventually. I need it. And the AirTag showed that it was at the airport, even though the airport people were like, it's with our delivery company. It's a separate company. It's out of our hands. I drove to O'Hare Airport with my AirTag and went to a desk and said, it is here. I need my bag. And they brought me, they like unlocked a room and they found it. And I got my bag and drove home.
Oh my God. That is a nightmare.
Put an AirTag in your bags, people.
Yeah.
That's my tip.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. Great tip. Kieran, travel horror stories.
What is an AirTag?
It is a thing for stalkers and creeps to use to harass women, I think.
Yeah. But it's also like controlling spouses.
Just like a little GPS
monitor. It's a GPS tracker that you can get for Apple for $80.
But it's great for, like, if you're moving, if you hire a moving company to like, put it in your stuff so you know, like, if you use, like, a pod thing or whatever, you can know where your stuff is. If you use, like, you know, if you ship a car across the country, put an AirTag in there, you can keep track of it.
And if you have a connecting flight, you will know whether your bag made it on the plane or not. And you will be in Chicago being like, my bag is in Dublin.
This assumes that you have a lot of nice things. I'm willing to let almost anything burn. Quite frankly, have it, don't. Who cares? I do remember there was an arsonist in my neighborhood during COVID because— okay.
I mean,
he was bored.
Look, there was a lot of random arson during COVID.
There was hella arson. There was hella
some fun.
We all lost our minds. We literally, and I think a certain number of people have an arsonist deep down in them, and it takes something like COVID to bring it out, you know?
Well,
in defense of arsonists.
I know. I was not expecting.
Does this have a connection to trackers?
Well, it's going to have a connection to things. I said I let it burn. Yeah. And then it reminded me, because this is, so in the place right next, my apartment's, there's a gate and the garage right opposite it, right? That burned down. Okay. That was the thing that burned and the firefighters came in. It was very impressive to watch them. But my house was very close to that thing. And I remember kind of stepping outside, my car's there and I'm like watching it. I'm like, huh. And I was like, well, I have my laptop and I have my passport. Yeah, fine, whatever. It's going to be what it is. And someone else runs out. They move their car. They do a whole thing. They move the car so that the car is safe. It didn't even occur to me to move the car, which I think is very funny. And then I went to England for several months. arsonist strikes again, gate melts, that guy's car gets fucked up. Oh, my car's fine. Oh, my car is totally fine. I was like, huh, look at that. House didn't burn.
I love my stuff. I'm like, that's a very, I feel like a peaceful and zen existent. And I love my stuff so much. I want to be buried with it like King Tut.
That's the most American thing I've ever heard you say.
Well, Kieran, have you ever had like a nightmare travel situation?
Yeah, the one that I think was like the scary, I travel a lot for stand-up, which I'm sure Kara can relate to. So it's like, this made me laugh because this is in America. It was like, I remember one time I was supposed to go on a flight to Boston, kept getting delayed. So we had to go back to the airport like 6 times in order to make this thing. But one time they were like, yeah, man, the pilot's just too tired. And I was like, yeah, man, we should go home. Like, a job I don't want somebody doing too tired is...
Let's call it.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, let's call it. Like, you take a nap, sis. You do you. Don't fly. You don't need to overwork.
Right.
Like, this isn't fucking Google. Like, just keep us alive. We want to get to the destination in one place. But the one that was the scariest travel story was... I was in India and I was I got a ticket where you can stop off at different places. And I had an aunt who said this to me and she's like, she's German. She's like, I cannot believe that this is the story you tell and remember about me. But before we were going I went backpacking in Europe with my cousin. And before we went, she goes, okay, girls, just remember. It was during college. She goes, just remember, if things ever get too bad, you just take out a credit card. You like walk into a nice hotel and you just put the credit card down and then you deal with it in the morning is what she said. And it's like, it's a very like reassuring. And she's like, this makes me sound like such a bitch. And I was like, it's like a rich bitch. But I was like, it is a very reassuring thought that it's like, wherever you are in the world, you have a credit card. If things get scary or shady, you put the credit card down and you walk into a nice place at night, you put the credit card down. You figure it out when there's daylight and you'll be okay. So I'm on a train track in India at midnight where all of the hotels are closed.
Oof.
Every hotel is closed. It's a small town. And my ticket is for the wrong day
to
catch the layover in that city. And I was freaking out because they don't let you on the train. I was like truly panicking because I was like, where am I going to sleep? Like where, like I can't stay on this, you know, there's nobody, and it's a ghost town kind of vibe because it's so small. Felt very unsafe, very, you know, I love Alyssa's face during this. She's like, tell me. And then on this, the third class sleeper train, because they have these like classes, there were these like 3 dudes sitting there and they're like, hey man, this is in Hindi, but they were basically like, hey man, relax. And they give me like this little glass of like hot almond milk. And they're like, it's okay. You can sit with us. You can sit with us. And so it was like, they all like scooted over and gave me like half their bench so that I could get, to Delhi. And they were so nice. And I was like, oh, people help people sometimes. It's very sweet.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
A travel nightmare turned into a travel dream.
I wouldn't say it was a dream.
Well, but a nice yeah, like a fairy tale of people being nice.
Yeah. a nice people fairy tale. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kara, how about you?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, you mentioned I have 2 kids. So truly any traveling for me now when they're not with me is a dream. Like I just, I'll be going to the most bullshit little airport. I'll have 3 layovers. I'll be like, whatever. My kids aren't here. I can read a magazine. I can watch a movie. Like this is the best. But recently, last Valentine's Day, my husband and I got booked to do a stand-up show together, like a couples show in Aspen. And, you know, we were like, okay, we got a babysitter for our kids overnight, which is difficult. And, you know, we don't have family here, so we have to pay for it. And when we get on the plane, we get this, like, captain that goes, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I think we're going to Denver. I don't think we're going to land in Aspen. Like, that's my job. I land in Aspen. It's not happening today. There's snow. Not going to happen. Oh, I was like, God. Cool. So I, like, quickly rent a car before we take off. We do end up getting diverted to Denver. I have to white-knuckle it through 3.5 hours through the Rockies to get to Aspen. So we make the show. We're, like, 20 minutes late. We do the show. We go to sleep. We're like, great. We'll just get out of here in the morning. And then that night people had said, you know, no planes came in today, so it might be hard for you to get out tomorrow. And I was like, oh, whatever. We haven't heard anything from Delta, so we're probably fine. And we wake up in the morning, flight's canceled. We have to drive all the way back to Denver. Then when we get to Denver, delays. We're on the plane. We keep getting messages while we're on the plane, and there's like one man, you know, there's always like one guy on every flight who's like, it's only happening to him. And he just keeps getting the flight text going, like swearing and screaming. And I'm like, sir, like everyone on the plane is getting the same text that we're delayed. Finally, they go, I'm sorry, you guys all have to get off the plane. Now at this point, the crew is overworked. Like they're over their time. And so we were like, what? So we have to sleep over at the Denver airport while construction is going on. So I just sleep on a bench.
Also.
It's a cursed airport. Yeah. It's like supposedly run by the Illuminati and there's lizard people living under it or whatever.
Yeah.
But plus like,
that evil,
cool.
That evil
yeah.
horse.
And, yeah, yeah, the horse. And so like—
What horse?
There's like a demon horse.
There's like
statue.
A stag kind of—
Outside of the Denver airport.
Yeah.
Google Denver airport curse after the show,
yeah,
and you will have a whole day of joyful rabbit holing. Between this and the deer story, I'm like, I am with white people.
Wow.
My God.
But we just had to sleep there while jackhammers went off for 5 hours. We got on the first flight out, but like we had to get someone to stay an extra night with our kids. Like it was the worst.
Oof,
you know?
That's rough. I've got a few real bad ones. I have just a kind of standard delay situation. I was in Puerto Rico. This was like many years, maybe 9 or 10 years ago. I was with an ex-boyfriend. He had just gotten a job writing for a late night show. And so like they have very specific times that they're off and very specific time. Like you don't get to take days off unless you're like literally in the hospital. And but they do get like 2 week breaks every, you know, on intervals. And so when he was like on a break, it was like, that's when we can do something like go away. We don't have any other option. Anyway, so we were in Puerto Rico and we were going to fly back to New York. And there was a blizzard like all up and down the East Coast.
I think I was there at the same time.
Were you in Puerto Rico?
Yeah. Was it New Year's?
It was New Year's.
Yes. I was in Puerto Rico in 2013.
Yes.
New
so
Year's.
So was I.
And we had to stay 2 extra days.
So did
and
we.
And Jared was like, my husband is like a swamp person, like so light, like so fair, like doesn't really like the sun. And he just was like, I got to get out of here. Like
yeah.
He couldn't stand being in Puerto Rico anymore. He was just in the room playing games on his phone. And I was like at the pool, like, okay, 2 extra days in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of excited about it. We were on the West Coast of Puerto Rico, and we had originally had a flight that flew to San Juan, but they canceled that flight to San Juan. So we were like, "No, we're going to rent a car because it's very important that we get out of here."
Yeah, and I think it was a polar vortex.
Yes.
It was one of like those huge things.
Yeah, yeah. And so we rented a car. We rented the last car. Drove to San Juan. Got there, and they're like, "We can get you to DC." And so we were like trying to figure out if we could rent a car from DC. And meanwhile, I'm like, I'm not really that desperate to get home.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was like just very tense. We ended up spending a day in the airport and then just getting a hotel. And we were about to go to bed and we got a text that's like, you're on a plane that's leaving at 2 a.m. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, we did get back to New York, but it was horrible. It was like 24 hours of no sleep. And the San Juan airport is designed in a way that is hostile. Like there is no, like the benches have like bars between each individual butt area of seating. So you can't lie down on the benches. The floors do not have carpeting. There's only like a couple little areas that have like carpeting. So you could lie down, not on tile. It was an egregious place. It was like a bus station. I mean, it's very clean. It's very clean. It's very modern, but it's a bus station. And like, it was just not great. And then my other bad travel story was I was in Nepal. And Nepal is not a place with a ton of great travel infrastructure, understandably, as Kieran knows, she spent a lot of time there. I was in a town called Jomsen at the end of the Annapurna Trail. And there's an airport in Jomsen and like regular flights that take off. In order to get from Jomsen back to kind of like civilization, like Pokhara or Kathmandu, you have to like either take a flight that's like an hour that just kind of hops over Annapurna, or you have to take a jeep, which costs like almost as much as a plane, and it takes 8 hours, and you have to drive around the mountains. And I had a plane ticket, but they canceled all the planes for the day because there were clouds over the mountains. And at the time, I was like, what? Why can't you just fly over the mountains? But apparently people crash into the mountains all the time when there's clouds. You shouldn't fuck with that. Anyway, I ended up having to take a Jeep, and the roads are very, like, not— they're not smooth. You know, they don't need to be. There's not a lot of people traveling on the roads. The roads were so bumpy and the Jeep suspension was like so bad that I had to travel with my like
hands holding my boobs. I was wearing a sports bra.
Oh, my God.
And it was like the jostling was so intense that it was like boom, boom, boom. And so I just had to ride like this, sandwiched in between two extremely crabby German girls who were so mad that we had to be on a Jeep.
Ooh, manual sports bra. That's tough.
Yeah. It was so, it was so bad. I still think about it sometimes. It's like, it was 7 hours of this.
Oh, my God.
7 hours of that. But we did make it to Bacar, and it was fine. But it was just like a very long, long, long travel day. But I'm glad we didn't fly into the mountains. That would have been probably not great.
One of my favorites in Nepal was like, because I don't even count it. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's fucking crazy. It's nuts. It's Nepal. It's like, what do you want? But we went, I was in a Jeep one time to go to, we were meeting, the rebel soldiers, right? Because I made a doc, before I was a stand-up comedian, I was a documentary filmmaker, which is what everyone wants to hear from their stand-up comedian. So the roads are they're not totally paved, they're dirt, right? Because it's like people aren't going on those roads to meet those rebel soldiers, so they're really not very well frequented, and there's rain. So this road had become very muddy, and it's on the side of a mountain.
Oh my God.
It's a guy, a guy is driving it, and I'm with a couple Nepali people, one girl who's going to translate to get over this, and we can't get through the side of this thing, and he keeps backing up and then revving the engine and go. And I think it's amazing to me how willing I am to just completely put my life into someone else's hands, because it is very possible that he could, and we all were kind of aware of it, but I was like, no, it seems fine. This guy,
this guy's
good. This guy knows the thing.
Yeah.
This guy knows the thing.
I remember one time it was the same trip. There was a really long backup of cars, and all the men were getting out of the cars to go to the front of the traffic to see what it was, which of course was making the traffic worse. But what it was two trucks that they were trying to meet going opposite directions around a corner, and they couldn't do it, but they got so close, and then every car got really close behind
so
them,
so they couldn't back up.
Oh my God. And then so eventually I could kind of see the original sin of the traffic jam, and eventually the two doors of the trucks open, and the two truck drivers got out, and they could not have been more than 11 years old, both of them. They were children. And then eventually we all had to every car had to back up so that the trucks could go, in Austin Powers,
God.
That 75-point turn. That was pretty crazy, too. Nepal travel is a different thing. Alyssa, if you're traveling into a hairy situation, so a busy travel weekend, notoriously awful airport, whatever, what are your personal rules for planning so that you don't experience a disaster?
Couple things. One, you're never cutting it close. You are never cutting it close. This is not the time of year to be oh, my flight's in an hour and a half. I'll get there right in time to board. No. Allow yourself plenty of time. Do not check a bag. Don't check a bag. And the last thing that is the most important, I think, noise-canceling headphones, not earbuds, headphones, the kind that don't need to be charged. You can just sit there. Because the one thing I have noticed, maybe it's just me getting older, entirely plausible, everyone is so loud to me. It's everyone is so loud. Why can't you have personal conversations? People just sit absolute barbarians listening to their iPhone with no earbuds on. And they're just involved in whatever stupid thing it is they're watching. So as long as I can shut off the world, I can have all of my things right in front of me. I've let nothing out of my sight. Also, probably bring a granola bar or something just in case. But for the most part, noise-canceling headphones and not checking a bag and not rushing are my three keys to success.
Okay. Okay, Dana, how about you?
I'm right there with Alyssa on the not playing it close. I like a good – I'm an airport dad. I like a good 2 hours
minimum. Yes, ma'am.
And I yeah, I don't like being physically in any state of physical discomfort for even a moment. And so I do. I like if
How
I'm traveling.
You alive?
I overplan.
You're Kim Cattrall. You don't want to be in a position for more than a minute
second.
Where you're not enjoying yourself.
Exactly. And so I will pack my bag. I will have enough snacks so that hypothetically, if I'm like stuck on a runway for 10 hours, I won't even be a minute of hunger. I have so many granola bars, external chargers, like just plan everything the night before. I'm a very good packer.
Do you enjoy mm-hmm. the planning, yeah. though? Because well, that's the Kim Cattrall's having a nice time, but all this planning sounds very
no, I,
bad.
I do.
No, the planning makes me feel good. Because I feel do. In control.
Exactly. I if I'm like, and also, my pro tip is if you can afford it, and you can, flying out of Burbank rather than LAX.
Oh, my yeah. God. If they went anywhere I had to go, yeah. I would love it. It's the best.
They go to Portland,
Burbank, you, like, is... land, and you just get into your car immediately.
You're there. You're home.
It's, like,
I'm
amazing.
Home. It lets me off at my front door.
Yeah. It's yeah. so good.
The airplane actually drops
yeah,
you off
Yeah, it drops
home.
Me off. It's yeah. really nice.
Well, that's – in Minneapolis, there are two terminals, and if you land in Terminal 2, the smaller one, it is, like, Burbank-sized. So, like, you can just –
I was just there, but I was at the big one.
Oh, the little one is a dream. It's like landing in Madison, Wisconsin, which is just, like, so, it's so small. You get there, you just – it's like there's so many checkpoints, and there's only, like, two people in line. You get there, and it's just, like, so nice. But, yeah, unfortunately, if you can't really control which terminal you land at in Minneapolis. Yeah. It's really a heads or tails type thing.
I like to treat an airport like a gym. I like to treat it like a workout. So I would say, it's like I had an uncle who's traveled the world, and it was so fun to watch him travel because it's like getting dropped off. That's where he's getting his exercise. He's fucking running through the airport. He's doing it. He's missing flights. It doesn't matter. And this cunt can sleep anywhere. It is. I actually think you just need to be able to sleep anywhere and like be ready for an adventure. Do you know what I mean? Go out. Go out on these streets.
This is like making me have a stomachache.
I know. And it's like, when I'm listening to you, I'm like, both of you, I'm just like cringing. Do you know what I mean? I'm like cringing in my like, you're like, I have to control things. And I was like, you're going to die.
Like, that's why
do you
I have
know
to
you're
going to
die? Like, it's still going to
yeah,
happen
but
to you.
Honestly, like, I avoid a lot of problems by really planning ahead.
Layers. I love layers. I don't like to be cold.
Like
I don't
once like you start traveling
hot.
With kids,
there's two
you
of them
bring,
in my ears now, guys. I want you.
You
to
gotta
know,
bring extra clothes for you. You gotta bring extra clothes for the kids because the kids gonna barf all over themselves. They're gonna barf all over you. Like you, if my maybe, planning ahead has saved me many
I
times.
Like, I'm like, maybe I'm eating Starbucks. Maybe I'm eating CPK. Maybe I'm not eating. I don't care. It's gonna be fine. I can sleep anywhere. I can give you good tips on how to sleep anywhere. There's earplugs that you can get from CVS that are like the jelly ones. Like, mm-hmm. and those work in any, that like, that works in any environment. A hoodie's great because you want something to kind of cover your head so that you feel like you're enveloped in some sort of a blanket, even if you're sitting up, and then you want to put a little eye mask. It doesn't have to be an expensive one, and some sort of like a large sweatshirt or a coat that you can drape over yourself.
Karen,
so you're basically
the amount
asleep.
Of child-free privilege I'm hearing
I know,
from you right
I
now.
Know.
If only I could do that. There is you. Children do not leave you alone ever.
No.
That the second you have a kid, you are never ever left alone unless you're traveling without them. That's great traveling alone tips. But as Karen knows,
or with other adults, or with any other adults, or if you're traveling
trust,
for work.
I don't trust other adults to be vigilant enough with like the Juniper is like a she is a writer's room of ideas for how to fuck shit up constantly coming out with pitches. What if I pull this down? What if I put my hand in here? And it's like nobody you basically need like two sets of eyes on her in order to
yes I'm not giving tips for parent travel. I mean I actually think it's a different category
altogether. Truly.
There's not like it's not the same. I'm talking about
it's like traveling it's
I'm talking about any human who's traveling for work, any human who's traveling with a partner with like you know what I mean.
We like, traveled with like a 55 pound dog in airports, and it was easier than traveling with a kid by car. Carol, what are your like personal rules? Your planner? How do you plan?
Well, I'm with Alyssa. I do try to get there early. All that. I just think also TSA pre-check, like get TSA pre-check if you are traveling domestically in the United States, because I think. When it first happened, I was like, what is this, class warfare? Like, certain people get to go on first? It's $80 for 5 years. Like, it's, like, $20 a year, not even. And it's so worth it, even if you travel two times a year.
And a lot of credit cards reimburse it.
Oh, amazing. Like, I just think getting—and at the holidays, TSA Pre is probably, like, a crapshoot anyway, but that's my tip. Like, I tell even my in-laws come to visit us like once a year, and I'm like, get TSA PreCheck. I know it's like just because it's just not taking your shoes off, not taking out your computer. All that stuff is so helpful.
Or Clear. Clear is good
too.
Oh,
yeah.
I have both.
I haven't given my eyeballs to Clear yet, but I'm thinking about it. But my other like tip is like when I'm traveling with kids, because I would love to not check a bag, but if I'm going away for 2 weeks with like a family of four, we have bags. I do curbside. And I always thought that was like, when I was growing up, my mom always did, they pump her gas for her. And I was like, then when I started driving, I was like, why are you doing this? Like, that seems so dumb. Just pump your own gas. But so curbside felt like that to me, like basically having someone pump your own gas. But now I'm like, you got to do it. You just get off at the airport, unload everything onto a person, and then you're free. And you just have, like, your kids in the stroller and their little backpacks.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to do that. My rules are direct flights only.
Oh, yeah.
Direct flights only over busy times of the year. And that does complicate things for me because my in-laws are from Pittsburgh, and there are
no direct flights
to Pittsburgh.
We're in, my relatives are Morgantown, and we have to go to Pittsburgh.
Okay, so that brings up an important point. Pittsburgh is in Appalachia.
Yeah.
It is literally in Appalachia. But if you tell someone from Pittsburgh that, they get very mad at you. But it is. It is geographically. And
Yins get real mad when we tell you you're in Appalachia.
And like, it, look at a map of the it is in Appalachia. And I was telling my husband that I was going to be stressed out by traveling to Pittsburgh with a child over the holidays. Plus, we don't know who's going to take care of our pets because we're going to a place that does not have direct flights to it. And
the only direct flight from Pittsburgh to LA is on Spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, and I will not do that.
That's even worse.
Absolutely
so it's like,
not.
And I think it's like $1,000. I mean, it's like an insane flight that it's like, who's taking this? I think that they put it up and then they cancel it because I don't think anyone buys
the tickets. Yeah, it's just not, it's not very, it is just not conducive to a peaceful time. It is not a nice way to start. So anyway, what we're going to do this year, because we can't get, because there's no direct flights to Pittsburgh, is my husband and daughter are going to go to Pittsburgh and spend Christmas there. I'm going to stay home and take care of our elderly pets, both of whom have varying degrees like end-of-life illnesses.
No,
they'll live. It's just like a maintenance. We can't like travel with this dog that's got
Like board them.
Yeah, exactly. My cat, when I boarded her the last time, she tried to die. She got so mad at me, she tried to die. So direct flights only.
Hell yeah.
No.
Cat has swag.
You guys have the same attitude, Karen. My cat and you.
Hell yeah.
Seriously.
They're like, I don't care about any of my shit. My litter box, let it burn.
I was like, my favorite part of this podcast is looking over at Dana while we listen to you guys talk about Appalachian, and we're like, huh.
And having kids.
Interesting. And we're like, huh.
Yeah, that seems hard.
I have to say, the phrase child-free privilege, I don't know about that phrase. Because it's
I don't know about that phrase.
That's not exactly the same as a can't control.
There are ways that your life changes after you have children that you don't necessarily wrap your mind around before it happens. And so there are things that you take for granted as someone without kids.
But the languaging of that sounds like white privilege.
Well, I think
that is not a choice. I'm surprised how much I bumped on that.
You could say child free advantage.
Advantage.
We have advantage.
1,000%. Okay. Child free advantage.
Child free ignorance. That's what I'll say. It's child free ignorance. Okay. So anyway, direct flights only. I also have like a toiletry bag that I always have in my suitcase that is always packed.
Yeah.
So I don't need to like the night before be like, do I have this? Do I have this? Do I have this? I have like a dual set of makeup that is in tiny sizes and it's always packed. And then I also like give myself some time and try to figure out before I land where I need to catch the Uber so that I can get out of the plane and immediately. So I'm not like looking for signs or whatever. I'm like, I try to be like the first. I would try to win the plane race. I like try to win the race. I book it once I get out of the plane. And so those are my like main travel hacks, I think. And then if you're traveling by car, we've done a ton of road trips. No more than 2 8-hour days in a row. Like if you're going to drive 8 hours, you can drive 8 hours the next day, but then you got to have a 4 hour or yeah. less day. If you're driving more than 8 hours, if you're driving like 10 hours, the next day you got to have a rest day. Like, yeah. and then, yeah, if you're driving 4 hours, you can do 4 hours a day for like 4 days in a row and that's fine. But yeah, you have to like really space out the long drives.
So we'll say I travel in chaos. I live in chaos and I treat the whole thing like an adventure and like I'm in it for the exercise and the aerobic activity. But I think I'm the only person on this panel who hasn't written a book.
I haven't written a book.
And that takes a lot of planning. I mean, just at least two of these bitches have written a lot of books, and then two of them have a bunch of kids. And that takes a lot of planning activities. I don't have a book.
It is not a great thing to always be worried about every possible contingency and to protect against it. But I do not like physical discomfort, and so it is a mantle I'm willing to take on to protect myself.
For anyone who travels by train, specifically Amtrak, in many of the bigger stations, there's something called red cap service. They are lovely people who have red caps, and they will help you with your bags. But the truth is, you don't have to have a lot of bags. You can just go up and say, I would like red cap, and someone will come help you with your tiny bag, but you get to go board the train first.
Ooh.
And so all you have to do is pay a tip.
How much is
generously,
the tip? Yeah.
I usually give $20. I mean, they're doing me a solid. Oh. And they take you down, but then you can get the exact seat that you want. You can get a window. Like for me, I don't like the sun. It, depending on the time of day, I don't want the sun shining in my face for
this
the
is why
full
you need
however
that hood.
Many hours. Well, exactly. But I'm just saying red cap for especially people with kids. A lot of people don't know it exists. It is super, super
yeah.
helpful.
Oh. I love train travel, by
I
the way.
Do too. Can we talk about how—
I'm obsessed with trains.
I am too. It is egregious that we don't have more trains.
Taking trains in Europe and like taking the tunnel from England to France is like you just walk on and you're on a train and then you're in Paris. Yeah. It's like the best thing in the world.
Yeah. I remember when I lived on the East Coast, it was like my favorite way to travel. Like, why wouldn't you take the Acela? It costs about the same as a plane ticket from New York to DC, but the experience is so much more pleasant.
I went to school in Providence, and the minute that I could afford, I used to, when I needed to go to New York, take like the bus. And the minute that I could afford to take the train, I was like, I'm an international businesswoman. I bought like a new J. Crew jacket. I like felt very, it was the height of sophistication.
Alyssa, I love the Vermonter.
The Vermonter train is a wonderful train.
Except, beautiful.
You know, the problem is now we need some infrastructure investment in our country because I was supposed to take the train down to the city tonight and it's canceled. And I was like, okay, well, I'll book for tomorrow morning. And it's still canceled because there's apparently some building over the tracks that's going to fall down or something. This is inconvenient, but otherwise highly convenient.
I don't know. It seems like ridiculous to me that we haven't been like, hey, guess what? Climate change making flying a lot more like erratically available. You know, like if we're going to have like a lot more intense blizzards, intense hurricane seasons, intense storms, weird weather, we can't just like, oh, and in Phoenix, sometimes it's so hot, planes can't take off. Like, we need to maybe plan for some resiliency around like long distance travel. And we're sort of just not. We're just kind of like, nah, you know what? The kids will figure it out.
Yeah.
Give us more trains.
Honestly, the kids will figure it out should be on the seal of the U.S. instead of E Pluribus Unum. It should be, the kids will figure it out. Because that's what they've done since the founding of this country. And none of the kids have figured it out. I wish that there were trains. There's like a surf rider on the West Coast that'll take you down to San Diego.
Oh, yeah. But half the time you can't take it because the ocean is like this coast is crumbling.
Right. Yeah, it's the surf faller or the surf derailer. Okay, so are there things that people do in air travel that you're just like them not doing it would improve the experience? Like how could air travel be improved?
How long do we have?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I got those earplugs and that hoodie. You know what I mean? So don't have to look at anyone that's my Gen Z equivalent of Alyssa's noise-canceling headphones. It's like, this is what keeps me safe and calm. Yeah, is this
just not paying attention to anything that's going on?
I can sleep anywhere. I don't think you understand the level to which I say I can sleep anywhere. It's a skill that, like, it's a lot of, like, Taika Waititi, have you seen? Like, he can nap anywhere. Uh-huh. There's these videos of, like, Will Smith napping anywhere. And I was like, I share this skill.
That's amazing.
With these people.
It's like CEOs that only need 4 hours of sleep.
No, it's the opposite.
Yeah, you can sleep anywhere. That's great. Eliza, how would you... Like, what are some general conduct rules on planes that you would like to see either enforced or, like, obeyed?
Okay. So I don't know if these are laws, but they should be common courtesy, which is that if you are on a plane that is supposed to have people sleeping on it, please shut your window shades.
Yes.
Like, I can't – I will book a window – like, I can't tell you the level of rage that I can get to if I have gone through so much trouble so as to book myself on the window seat so that I can control the shade. But then someone who is sitting somewhere where their open window is, like, the sun blinding me, it drives me so crazy. I have asked flight attendants, like, can you please have that person shut their window shade? Like, I just think it's so rude. It is the thing that drives me crazy. That and bringing food that stinks on the plane.
Oh, my God.
That just – that smell is going to be there for a long time. Just get turkey. You don't need tuna.
There's nothing I hate more than a person just staring out their window at the wonderment of, like, the miracle of flight. Like, I'm just like, shut that shade.
Like, shut the shade.
You get it. Shade. We're in the clouds. It's gorgeous. Shut the fucking shade.
Can I say my least favorite thing is after a flight lands, when people stand up before the door is even opened, you're like, why are we crowding these aisles with these low ceilings? Ugh. We're in the back. One, the door has to open. Then first class will file out. Then people will gradually come. Give it a minute. We don't need to feel like cattle right now.
A friend of mine said this to me once. He said, when I get mad, I get mad about a lot of stuff. I'm a comic.
Mm-hmm. That's part of your job.
It's part of your job.
You have to.
It's part of your job. And he's like, you just got to remember, like, 8 out of 10 people are bad at their jobs. It's truly not personal. They're not doing it to you. They're just doing it
poorly.
That's just how they're doing it. That's how they're doing it in their life. And let it wash over you. Surrender. Surrender to the wave of shit. And you will be so much happier. The level of blood pressure over a fucking window shade. Guys.
No, I'm trying to sleep, girl. I'm trying to sleep.
Why don't you have the eye patches? Why?
I don't like eye patches.
You don't, but get, that's, you can that's sense in front light. Of your face. You can control that. You
can
like
sense
control.
Light through an eye patch. I will say that. I feel like you can.
Not if you get a great one. Get a great one.
I think it's frustrating because.
I know what I'm gifting these two.
But because it's frustrating to know that you exist in a world with people that have so little self-awareness and common courtesy.
Yeah. But you've seen politics. You work in politics. Yeah. Why would you think it would be different on a plane?
Even Mitt Romney would shut the window.
Yes.
Mitt
Romney is not sitting in coach.
No, he's not. Maybe he is.
Mitt Romney is in a jet on a sleeper plane. That's why he doesn't there's never a time when it's like, can I recline?
Okay, but like
he's a fucking billionaire.
Adjacent to like what Dana said, my number one thing is when someone from the rows behind tries to go first. Like, it is a file-out process. This row goes, then this row goes, then this row goes. You don't get to go first because you're standing up and your little bag is ready to go. Like, I hate that. So what you're basically saying, let people be idiots. And I'm saying, no, there's a system to this. Mm-hmm. This is how society functions.
You're part German,
like,
right?
No.
That's, it just reminds me of like—
Karen!
I feel like, no, that's, but the Germans and the Swiss have that, the schedule. I remember one time.
I'm German.
Also, Germans will tell you when you're doing something wrong. They'd be like, you're doing that wrong.
One time I was like, you know, like the woman was taking forever. So I was like, I'll just move past her. And she's like, there's a system. And she like literally was like,
I like systems.
Pushed me.
Germans
and then I was like,
are
it was
all
crazy.
So much Capricorn energy. Just so much Capricorn energy.
As a Capricorn, systems make things more efficient.
Thank you. I'm a Capricorn rising.
I'm going to say things that people should obey on planes. The feet thing. I think if you're going to take your shoes off, you have to have some kind of a slipper or a slipper sock to put over your feet because, you know, you can put on glasses to block or whatever, mask to block the sun, maybe. But, like, are you supposed to get a nose plug to block the smell of people's stinky-ass feet? Don't encroach.
That's so gross.
Don't encroach on other people's space. If you've got you are not entitled to the space outside. I'm sorry. Like, everybody, I'm sorry, the airline is responsible for, like, making us crammed into a space like sardines, but you are not entitled to spread your legs out so that you're taking up space that is in front of somebody else's seat. Mm-hmm. You're not entitled to that. The person who's sitting in the middle is entitled to both armrests.
Yes.
Because if you're sitting on the window, you have one armrest. If you're sitting on the aisle, you have one armrest. The middle seat sucks. They get both of the armrests. I think don't fuck around with your tray table too much, especially if you're on a sleeping flight. Decide if it's going to be up or it's going to be down because that bothers
That's
the person in front of you. That bothers the person in front of you. Just be thoughtful. Be intentional. Like, okay, I'm going to eat now. I'm going to take it down. But don't, like, fuck around with it, you know?
I think just try to be respectful. Realize that this is hard for everyone.
Yeah.
And just be, like, be aware that you are in a contained space with hundreds of people.
Yeah. I mean, and it's if you're expecting an individual experience that caters to your every whim, then I guess make enough money to fly private or, you know, deal with some of the pratfalls of flying with a bunch of people. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a special holiday edition of I Feel Petty / Sanity Corner. This episode of Hysteria is brought to you by Vuori. Need the perfect Mother's or Father's Day gift? Check out Vuori Performance Apparel.
Drawing inspo from the coastal California lifestyle, Vuori's products inspire others to live vibrant, active lives.
I love that they're calling this the coastal California lifestyle. I will embrace that instead of what I thought it was, which was the I only want to wear comfortable clothes lifestyle.
Yeah.
I
refuse to be uncomfortable if I want to be productive.
I refuse to be uncomfortable, but sometimes I have to look like I belong in a respectable place lifestyle, which is like Vuori is perfect for it because the clothes look fantastic. They fit great. They are so comfortable. I lie down in mine all the time.
Especially, Erin, the women's performance joggers. They have a slim but relaxed fit and are designed with dream knit stretch fabric. I love my joggers.
I've slept in mine. I've slept in them.
Really? You don't get hot?
No. They're very, like, on it's like a couch nap. You know, you have like a, you've got like maybe a half an hour in the afternoon. You're like, ooh, I've got a like small break. I'm very tired. I'm going to just like lay down for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect for couch napping.
Joggers. I love the leggings. I can work out in them. I can do my errands in them. I can wear them with a proper top to a business meeting. It is not a problem.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you probably could. Just put a blazer and like
denim shirt. Denim shirt, blazer, leggings. So easy.
100%.
And of course, the men's core shorts. They have a classic athletic fit falling just above the knee, while the Sunday performance joggers are made from recycled performance stretch fabric.
I got my dad some men's core shorts. He wears them to mow the lawn.
It's perfect.
He is like, I think my dad is one of those people that just like beats the crap out of his clothes. He'll wear them until they look like a security blanket that a 30-year-old still has, where it's just like a ball of string, and you're like, ugh.
Our dads are the same.
Yeah, yeah. But my dad has had his for like a couple years now, and I think I saw him wearing them the other week when I met up with family on a short weekend trip, and they still looked great. I was like, Dad, your clothes still look new.
So fancy.
Vuori is offering Hysteria listeners 20% off your first purchase. Get some of the most comfy and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/hysteria. That's Vuori.com/hysteria. You'll also enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/hysteria and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
March into spring with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered 1-gig internet for $59.99 per month, plus a $150 gift card and price lock guarantee. This deal gets even better with a free modem, free installation, and free Wi-Fi your way home. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and manage user access for all connected devices with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires May 6, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
As a chef and a restaurant owner, I'm as meticulous about my cookware as I am about my ingredients. That's why I love Made In Cookware. Each pan they make isn't just designed to perform, it's crafted to last. As a mom, I love that I can trust Made In. It's made from the world's finest materials, so I can feel good about what I'm feeding my family. I'm Chef Brooke Williamson, and I use Made In Cookware.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who consider themselves a little bit of amateur secretaries of transportation, if you will. All right, before we get to Sanity Corner / I Feel Petty, some announcements for the class. Everyone loves a Black Friday sale, but charging through a mall parking lot with a stomach full of pie just doesn't hit like it used to. Shop the Crooked Store's Black Friday deals from the comfort of your couch.
The Crooked Store's biggest sale of the year is here, and everything is 20% off. It's the perfect time to grab that merch you've had your eye on and stock up on gifts for the Crooked fans on your list.
Bestsellers like the Leave Trans Kids Alone, You Absolute Freaks tees, stocking stuffers like socks and stickers, they're all 20% off.
Plus, look out for the surprise flash sales all week long.
Head to crooked.com/store to shop, and make sure you're signed up for the email list to find out the moment each flash sale starts.
Rather than riding the polar coaster or watching the dumpster fire that is the 2024 Republican primary,
join the Vote Save America community for everything you need to have the impact you want during this presidential election cycle.
From volunteer opportunities to making sure you're registered to vote.
At Vote Save America, being an engaged citizen doesn't start next year. It starts now.
Head to votesaveamerica.com/no-off-years to find out how you can get involved today.
All right, before we leave you on this holiday weekend, hopefully most of you have time off. If you don't have time off, I hope people are treating you nicely. We're going to get into a Sanity Corner / I Feel Petty. Dana, you were making eye contact with me last.
Oh, wasn't that's great.
I'll have you kick us off. Are you a Sanity Corner or Petty this week?
I'm a Sanity Corner, and I'm going to lean into just being like a basic white bitch and say that I'm fully charmed by all the shenanigans that Taylor Swift is doing with Travis Kelce.
Oh, my God.
I'm just delighted by it that when she changed the lyrics to the—I don't know if you're aware of this.
Oh, I am aware. What'd
she do?
Made me learn it.
Yes, TikTok, that's the job of TikTok. The song is, the lyric is,
Karma is
the
cat
guy
sitting
on
in
the
my
street
lap.
Coming straight. Karma is the guy on the screen coming straight home to me. And in Buenos Aires last night, Travis Kelce was there, and Taylor sang, Karma is that guy on the Chiefs coming straight home to me.
Oh, wow.
And he made, like, a cute little face. And look, I don't even like the whole, like, football player. I liked when she was with, like, tubercular British actors. but I was freaking charmed. God. I was charmed.
No, I sort of like her being with, like, a man.
Yeah,
because everybody
cute.
Feels like she could have snapped all the last ones like a twig. I did see the clip of her rushing into his arms maybe after that same
it's
show.
It's sweet. It's sweet. I can't help it. I like it.
I just have to.
You and everyone else. My co-host of my podcast has always been, like, Taylor whatever. No, she's fully a Swiftie, invested in the relationship has brought her in.
I am, as a catastrophizer, just like, what if something goes wrong? What's going to happen? Like, there's going to be a great American divorce between, like, people who are taking her side and people who are like, whatever, let him play football. He's a football player. So there's a part of me that's like, oh, this is lovely. What if it all goes away? All right.
If they get married, it will be our royal wedding, though.
Yeah, holy it's the closest we'll have.
Shit. Yeah. I mean, seriously, I think they already eclipse Harry and Meghan.
Yeah.
Much to their chagrin. Kieran, Sanity Corner or are you feeling petty?
I would say Sanity Corner. We've had a lot of petty on the airline talk, guys. Live comedy. Go see live comedy. It's so much fun. That's so much fun. Wow. You get to have you get to be in a community of people and everybody's laughing and there's enough space so you don't need to know each other and you don't have to be on an airplane. You don't have to worry about the shades. There's no shades.
Imagine if there were shades in comedy shows.
There's no shades. Everyone has a drink. They feel good. It's happy. Everyone comes and laughs. And it's very specifically, I will say, American crowd specifically. It is, I don't know if you find this, but I did find this after coming back from England. I was like, in America, you realize, I was like, people come to comedy and they're like, we're going to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
they're rooting for you. Yeah. We're rooting for you. In England, people go to shows and they're like, I hope this isn't shit.
Well, that still happens in the U.S., I find, at hipster shows. Oh. At hipster shows, they're like, go ahead. But make
that's still,
me laugh.
But that's such a narrow.
Yeah.
That's narrow.
But I'm doing a lot of the hipster shows. So I'm trying. But yes, I for the most part, I agree.
Yeah. I've been feeling like very sick lately, but I just run down. And I think it might be the seasonal whatever.
And our children are constantly pumping germs into our mouths, basically.
Oh, she coughs directly into my mouth. It's like anywhere else, like literally anywhere else. You got 360 degrees and you're choosing my mouth.
Ugh.
Anyway.
Well, I keep going cover and then I cover it. And then I'm like, now I have germs
on my hand. I was watching some stand up the other night because I was just like wiped out. And I realized when I was laughing, I was like taking deep breaths because you're like, and it just physiologically makes you feel better to watch something and like laugh at it because you're breathing more.
Who were you watching?
I was watching Patton, an old Patton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, an old Patton.
But really wanted to hear Kara Klink. Wanted to hear that.
I mean, I will watch Kara Klink. Absolutely.
It was kidding. I don't have a Netflix special.
It felt so cathartic. It was just like, oh, I mean, I can't, like, it's kind of hard for me to get out of the house and go to a comedy show, but like watching a nice stand-up set, it was just like, this is great.
Yeah.
A health benefit. Alyssa, Sanity Corner or I Feel Petty?
Sanity Corner, you guys, heating pads.
Ooh.
So, guys, I have rediscovered heating pads. I can't sleep that well, and now I go to bed, and I just put it on setting number 3, and I put it on my belly, and I drift into the most restful slumber. It's an old school heating pad. It's not one of these fancy ones that they try to sell you on Instagram. This is some shit I bought at CVS. It was $10, and it is saving my life.
Ooh.
Glorious.
Love that.
A heating pad.
Love a heating pad. It feels luxurious. Like, if you're ever driving a car, you rent a car that has, like, heated seats, or if you have a car with heated
God.
Seats.
Oh, my God. The height of luxury, like, heated seats in cars.
Oh, my goodness. This is lovely.
Buns are toasty.
Have you ever been to a hotel or somewhere with, like, heated bathroom floors?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. People are out here living that way?
Yeah. People
live God.
That way.
Is this heating pad, it's not a hot water bottle. You plug it in?
It's electrical, right? It's plugged
into electrical.
The wall?
It's electrical. It's plugged into the wall.
Yeah.
It is. And it has a timer for 3 hours. So it goes off so you don't bake yourself.
So it's safe.
Night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the most narrow thing in the world, and that will relate to nobody, and say I've been scared of electric heating pads ever since I was a child who read a young adult novel about a boy who used an electric heating pad and it turned him invisible.
That's what you're scared of happening. I thought you were about to go into a dark story about immolating in the night.
No, Alyssa is pixelated now. Yeah. She's almost gone.
One of those books where I'm like, I don't think it was a popular book. I think I just found it at the bottom of a library bin.
Oh my God.
But I read it and it stuck with me.
I mean, I'll say if you're afraid of being immolated or turned invisible by a heating pad, a hot water bottle on a chilly night. Like, put real hot water in it and, like, just stick it at the end of your bed where your toes would normally be cold.
Lovely.
They're always cold.
That is a luxurious. It's lovely.
This is why, back to airports, I don't understand why anyone's taking their shoes off on a plane. My feet are frozen on a plane at all times.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't really get why airing. I don't know. I just don't get it. Even traveling in an open-toed, like, Birkenstock, I don't get it.
Oh, yeah. That's a nightmare.
It's so cold. I'm freezing.
All right. I'm going to do a petty just because I'm cantankerous today. So, you know, I'm on a corner of TikTok, social media, whatever. Every social media platform thinks I like this. Because I do like this. I'm interested in this. But, like, holiday crafts. So I'm getting a lot of stuff about holiday crafts. And I am not, like, a Martha Stewart. You know, I'm not. But I am somebody who knows how physics and glue
works.
Just generally speaking. Or, like, you know, special like Christmas cookies where it's like there's this one thing. Anyway, I know how like things heat up at different temperatures or whatever. There are so many crafts that aggressively would not work. Like, and very obviously would not work. And it's like you're using Mod Podge to make a 6-foot-tall snowman? That doesn't even make any sense. Like, that doesn't, it's not gonna work. Like, and I feel like there should be some kind of body. Not necessarily a governing body, but like an MPAA-style body that rates crafts based on how possible they are.
I would love you to make that TikTok.
Rate yeah. the
make
craft.
The TikTok.
Like, this is rated unrealistic.
Doing the craft. And just saying, like, okay, if you are a normal person, this will not work.
This is not going to work. There's so many things that are like, this is a recipe that has, like, a full raw egg in the middle of something, and you just put it in the oven for, like, 5 minutes. It's like, no, you don't put it in the oven for 5 minutes. This is a raw egg. It's going to take so long to bake. You can't bake it at 400 degrees. It's like, anyway, we need some sort of, like, fact-checking craft fact checking.
The craft industry is just running wild.
It is.
They're running they're unchecked. They're unregulated, and it ends here.
It is that
MythBusters reboot exactly. for the TikTok generation.
When you said MPAA, like, and then you were like, you should make a. I thought you were going to make governing body. Yeah.
That too.
For that should be your new thing.
Because yeah. It's like every toy has an age on it, like 3+, 8+. It should be like only if you know how to weld can you do this. You know?
Do yeah. you have a soldering gun?
Yeah. For welders, for junior welders.
Yeah.
For welders. Under five.
For the welder woman on the go.
Yeah, you like know? This is a 5-minute craft. You just need 16 colors of resin and a bandsaw. I'm not doing that. Nobody's
wow,
doing that.
What? I'm not getting that.
Oh
corner
my God.
Of,
I'm going to start sending it to you and please. I'm going to fuck your TikTok up.
I'm sure my phone's listening to me. I'm going to get it immediately.
You're going to get so much dumb shit. It's like, oh, you can make like a purse. All you have to do is boil a vinyl record and shape it around like a saddle mold. It's like, I don't have any of that. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. And nobody should. They're filling us with false hopes and false dreams. And Christmas is a time of hope and happiness. And trees. And trees.
Love trees.
And not frustration and impossibility. And like, you know, look, things are possible, but breaking the laws of physics is not possible. So I just need, we need to figure out the crafts. All right, Kara.
Well, I guess I'll follow you and do petty. I guess I'm just very annoyed by child's advertising right now. Like, Amazon sent us a catalog for the holidays
that
my kids got a hold of, and they were on page 4 before all the slots of their list were taken up. Like, they wanted every single thing in it. I watch Paramount Plus with them, which I don't pay for the one without ads. It's the only one. And it's like just kids watching their little cartoon for 10 minutes, and there's 5 commercials for, like, Batman toys. My kids are just like, can we have that? Can I have that? That's how my son talks. He's just like, can I have that Batman thing? And I'm like, no. Like, they're just constantly asking for every single thing. And I think I got spoiled because Netflix, who, like, I don't have the ads. And now that it's the holiday time, the child consumerism is making me crazy.
Oh, my God. It's so bad. On Miss Rachel, we don't pay for, like, no ads on YouTube.
Yeah,
but Miss Rachel, there are so many, like, did you know about this cat cartoon that's on Disney Plus that has multiple things you can buy for it? And my daughter hates it when the commercials come on. She goes, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh is hilarious.
And that's my petty is uh-oh. I don't want any of these. I don't want any of these ads for kids. It just feels like, I thought we stopped it. I thought we stopped advertising to kids, but I guess that was just cigarettes.
We should, not the other harmful things, just cigarettes. You know Raffi, the children's musician?
Yeah.
I think a lot of us probably grew up listening to him during like circle time in preschool. He passed up being like a very, very rich man because he won't let his songs be used against advertising for kids.
Wow.
Yeah. So like there are still some people in like children's entertainment that have some principles.
He's coming to L.A.
When?
Raffi is like coming to L.A. I think I saw someone post about it in my mom group. Yeah.
Oh my God.
We'll look
didn't
it up.
See it because he's not doing fucking ads.
He's not doing ads.
Maybe
it's word of mouth, baby.
Not advertising.
Just among the Raffi heads.
I will 100% go to that show. All right. That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. So fun to have this supersized holiday fun time panel with Dana, Kieran, our bucket of cold water, Kara, and Alyssa, my writer. Or die this week and every week. And be sure to check out our show notes for Senator Smith's favorite Thanksgiving dish. Listeners, if you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com. We will be back with a fresh episode next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Fiona Pestana is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Megan Patzel. And thank you to Julia Beach, Ewa Okolate, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production support every week.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.